Welcome to the Power Walk Ministries broadcast, and thanks for joining us today. We hope you'll join us for the entirety of this series, Don't Run Aimlessly, which goes through to the end of next week. We want you to know that this is a listener-supported broadcast. Our purpose is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and equip and encourage the body of Christ. So would you consider making a one-time or regular monthly financial contribution to help us get God's word out? If so, please call us again at 281-260-7402. Please know that we count on your prayerful and financial support for our ministry. God bless you. Reverend Cannings is teaching from the book of Revelation on how we can fix our eyes on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Day after day, we wait for our communities to open up, for things to return to normal. And even in this, Dr. Cannings calls for us to be encouraged and keep our eyes on the finish line. Let's listen now as he brings us the message titled, The Prize.
As we continue this series on Don't Run Aimlessly, I'd like for us to turn to Revelation chapter 3, and we start in verse 8 about the Church of Philadelphia. It helps us in the midst of difficulties and hardship and, you know, times that are unstable, times that has really tested people to the core. Difficult times, lots of questions about God, the church around us from day to day. How do we stay focused and not run aimlessly, not become so despondent? We're just going from day to day like a person who is what they call a sober alcoholic. We are drunk with the situations that we're facing, but trying to make it through soberly. Meaning, what is right today? What do I got to get done today? But overwhelmed by what's taking place. Can hardly sleep because there's so much anxiety about tomorrow. How do we live in times that will continue to come from time to time? I mean, in the city of Houston, we've dealt with the flood not too long ago. And then the flood before that not too long ago, like a 100-year flood. Somebody's not counting right. And we've dealt with these things over and over again. While we're going through the situations around the world, there's, you know, Kenya has dealt with the locusts and the locusts destroying their crop, which they totally depend on also for their animals. So how do we deal with these times? He's saying that during these times, the love of God that people will have at one point in time that is just excited and want to serve God and want to worship God and can't get enough when they come to church. They've got music in their car and all this stuff. He's saying that love will grow cold because of the pain of the last days in Matthew chapter 24. How do we stay focused so that we're not running aimlessly through these times? A church that we could learn from is the Church of Philadelphia. Church of Philadelphia, we read about here that we're going to walk through this passage for the next 3 days. In verse 8 is where we would start. He says in verse 8, I know thy works. That's one of the things that comforts my heart, is that no matter whether or not what you do is appreciated or looked up to or pat on the back for it, the Bible is saying, no. That's not where you look for people to do with you. That's not what you're running this race for. If we serve God for our own selfish reasons, he says it brings us no reward. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 15, there is no reward for this. So the world looks at us and say, we're the best preacher ever, and you got the biggest church. And he's going, I'm not blessing you for the quantity in that passage. I'm blessing you for the quality. So it doesn't matter how large something may be. You got the biggest house. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's great. But we learned yesterday that if my heart isn't right about it, he says, I look at you and you're naked, wretched, and poor. So we have to look at the person who knows our works. The word know here is literally the word that has a full understanding. It's complete in his understanding of everything he needs to know about everything that needs to be known. Is a full, accumulative understanding of everything that is taking place, that is going on inside of us, whether it's our thoughts. He says we will give an account for our thoughts. We will give an account for every word that we speak in the book of Colossians. He knows what we are doing as we serve him and the reason for which we serve him and the motive behind which we are serving him. He says he knows all of our works. He knows it. He's going to reward us for our labor in heaven. we have a reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 15 says in verse 15, he says, yeah, I will reward you for your work that you've done, whether good or bad. In other words, bad in the Bible means worthless, or it is productive and advantageous to the kingdom of God because it advanced the kingdom of God. It made the kingdom of God achieve things because of what you've done. He said, I bless you for that. I'll give you a reward for that. So he's watching everything, whether it's the church, whether it's our thoughts, whether it's our words, everything that we're doing. You go to Matthew chapter 25. He's saying, when I look at you, I see that you helped the person who was naked. You helped the person who was sick. You took care of the person who was in prison. He knows everything. He knows everything. So this church of Philadelphia stands out. And one other church in the Bible stands out as a church that God is looking up to, and this church will be rewarded for what they have done. So when he looks at them, in verse 8 he says, I know everything. I know your works. I know all the cumulative efforts that you're doing. And that's what he's saying here. In verse 8, he says, behold, I have set before thee an open door. Many people believe it's an open door to the New Jerusalem that would take place. In other words, I'm welcoming you home. I can't wait. When you come to heaven, there's no knocking to get in, no going to some pearly gates and hoping it opens and Peter and all these different stories we've heard. No, he's saying it's open for you because I watch and know the quality of what you're doing. And no man can shut it. There is nobody that can ever do anything because of my power to put any obstacle in the way of you not going through that door. It's set for you. There is no way we can live this life aimlessly. There's just way too much available to us that we could just lose sight of. We could become lost and distracted in all these things rather than being focused. He's saying this is available to you and nobody could shut it. Nobody could get in the way of this. And when you read Revelation and talk about how Jesus Christ will be established and they get to the beamer seat, who can stand up to him? Throughout the book, as we continue down this book, you see that nobody could stand up to him. And that's why he says this. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. What a powerful thing here. You would think after all of that, this is church. Amen. These are a group of people that are strong and mighty. And they have all this inner strength to do great things. He says, no. When I look at you, even though you are doing all this great work within this city of Philadelphia, you don't have the kind of political influence. You don't have the kind of power to move anybody from stopping anyone from doing anything against you. You don't have it. You are at the mercy of everybody. That's what he's saying. I recognize that. He's not talking about spiritual strength here. What he's talking about is the capacity and the capability to overcome the obstacles that the Jews and Satan is putting against them. They were coming against them, and they had no power to stop them. That's how sometimes people feel. There's just no power to be able to stop what is coming against them on their job, stop the health issues that their body produced, stop no matter how healthy they try to be, this virus from spreading, stop all the different issues that are taking place in our world, crime and wars and all this stuff. No power to stop it. He says, I recognize you for all of your achievements. I got a door open for you, but I understand that you are in a situation that is a crisis because you have no power to overcome it. None. And that's why he says, you cannot be aimless when this happens. You cannot think that God isn't concerned and doesn't know what's taking place and God has just forgotten about you and is not concerned. He says, no, I know what you're dealing with. I know your deeds. I know what is taking place. How could God not know when at the same time we say he lives inside of us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that he's everywhere all at the same time? How could God be everywhere all at the same time and not know anything? He knows everything. You know, he's so engaged with us, he knows the numbers of hairs on our head. He says, I understand the obstacles that you face. He says, behold, I will make them a synagogue of Satan, which they say are the Jews and are not, but do lie, because Satan is the father of all lies. So they're coming to the synagogue and they think they could pick up the scrolls and read the scrolls and they could do their festivals and come in believing that they are close to God with all of their piety. But when he says, when I look at them, because they've excluded Christ from their lives, They are a synagogue of Satan, and they are liars. He says, I understand that that group of people are against you, and you have no power to stop them. And attached to their gathering is Satan. And he says, I will make them come and worship before thy feet. I'll make your enemies your footstool, and to know that I have loved thee. We'll pick this up tomorrow, but here is the victory that we cannot lose sight of. He keeps the door open. Nobody could shut it. He knows everything, understands that this is a church that is so willing to do what he wants them to do, and he's fighting for them, and he's telling them, don't take your eyes off the prize. Run the race and press towards the mark. No matter what we're doing, don't forget the mark. And the mark here is, these people that you think are so powerful, when you don't feel you have power, I will make them your footstool. Because they don't have any power over me. Well, you can see this over and over again in the Bible. Saul, powerful. David got to run everywhere. Footstool. David is taking care of his kids, being gracious to his kids. David became powerful. God has a way of, no matter how much noise somebody makes, how much power they seem to have, he could bring them down faster than they can take the next breath. And he says, listen, stop stressing over those who have power. I have a door open for you, and nobody can shut it. God is talking about when you go to work, respect your boss who don't like you and treats you bad. Dealing with that day in and day out. Maybe it's a husband or a wife. It just makes marriage miserable. Maybe it's a child that has just become a pain, and you love the child. But the child would not listen, would not respond to Christ, would come to church but just sit there. Don't care to hear nothing about the Bible, and it breaks your heart. He says, don't give up. I'm fighting for you. The time is just not now. I will bring that time to pass. Your job is to just run the race that is set. Press towards the mark, or at least walk worthy, or stand when the darts are coming by wearing my armor. Well, folks, I understand that these situations may seem impossible, but God says with him, all things are possible. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Stay focused.
Amen, Dr. Cannings. God knows and understands every obstacle and heartache we carry, yet he promises his joy and peace in the midst of it. Please visit us online at powerwalkministries.org for a copy of this message series or any of our other resources. Again, that's powerwalkministries.org. And maybe you have a friend or family member who is in need of encouragement. Please be sure to browse through Pastor Canning's books or message series, and we trust you'll find a resource to meet that person's need. You can also call us at 281-260-7402. Again, that's 281-260-7402. And as we leave you, remember, no matter how busy our schedules get, it is the time we spend in reading God's Word and in prayer that will give us the much-needed wisdom, strength, and peace to go through each day.